Happy Pride weekend, everyone. And here on Off the Menu, we are marching to a different drummer. I've got some just amazing guests today. Yeah, Mr. Mike Brown from Travail. He is in the green room right now waiting to come on, talk to us all about how you keep a white hot restaurant white hot year after year after year. We might ask him about the chicken suit. It has been known to appear. Also, this is really the best vegan cookbook I've ever seen is by Jean-Christian Jury. He's a chef behind a Berlin restaurant I've never had the pleasure to get to. It's closed now. It was called La Mano Verde. But if you see this book, it's so heavy. It's heavier than a Thanksgiving turkey. It is almost 500 pages. Every page has one or two, three recipes on it from around the world. And what I love about this cookbook is it's got recipes from Cyprus, recipes from Jordan, Latvia, like places I don't want to be the most insular American, but I never think of what is the vegan, you know, cuisine of Latvia. I just don't think that way. And so that's why this book is just incredible, is that, like, imagine a couple thousand recipes that you never thought of. That's what this is to me. And as you know, I am not a vegan, but I think this recipe is great. This book is amazing for people that are not vegans because it kind of expands your mind. So we are very, very lucky to have Jean-Christian on the line with his for his book, Vegan, the Cookbook. Jean-Christian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, so tell everybody, how did you get into vegan cooking to begin with?
Oh, I started back in London in 2004. I had some very serious health problems. I had two heart failures in 6 months' time. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, and my doctor was actually Iranian, a very nice guy, told me, listen, Jean, you know that everybody here on this planet has two lives. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, the second life starts when you realize you have only one. So my advice, change diet.
Oh, and that's great.
And he was right, you know, because I had a very hectic life running three kitchens at the same time. So I started to really think about my future. And so I decided to start to study healthy cooking. And this is when all started for me.
Yeah, in America, we're pretty familiar with the Bill Clinton story. So he went vegan for a while, lost a ton of weight. How was it, if it's not too personal, how was it switching to a vegan lifestyle?
Well, it was quite easy because it started for me actually in Turkey, in Istanbul. I found a company making a kind of new concept based on juices, smoothies, and raw food. So when I started to see the effect on body, on the immune system, and on the health, for me, it was obvious I had to do it. And, you know, today I'm 64. I feel so good. I'm packed with energy. I still have my juices and my smoothies every day. I eat as much raw and fresh, which is the trigger, as possible every day. And this is really my advice to anybody when I cook. If it's vegan or not, please just supply fresh, market fresh. That's the trigger.
And so I have to ask, what did your family think when you started eating, you know, not traditionally?
like in every family, no, we have a vegan in the family. So you become the problem.
Yeah.
Everywhere you're invited, they have to cook specially for you. So it's quite a challenge. But, you know, the word vegan had a very negative image a long time ago when I started back in 2006 to develop recipes. The problem was that animal rights associations like PETA and many others were so loud and so active. They put a very negative image behind the word vegan, and everybody was a bit surprised when they see a restaurant with vegan. No, I don't want to go there. So my first target was to give a very positive image, and I just deleted the word vegan and added plant-based. And this worked very well.
Yeah, I think that the vegan has a connotation of you're giving up things. And I like what your book is amazing because you're not giving up things, you're getting new things.
Absolutely. What I try to do, because I travel really a lot, the last 18 months I was on the road from India, Asia, Southeast Asia, Africa, South America, a bit everywhere. When I find something that I really like, I just try to veganize it in a very healthy way, using as less ingredients as possible. So I make it easy for home cooks to replicate the recipe. And this is what I always try to do with any of my recipes.
So tell me, you in the book, you deal with a lot of the, you know, the vegan mayonnaise, a vegan tofu, you know, tofu in substitute for cheese, these kind of things. How do you feel about those products now?
Oh, you know, we are all lactose intolerant around the world. And this is what a lot of people don't understand is that basically the lactase, which is in all milk products, is the sugar in the lactose. And to break it down, your body can do it only when you are a very young age. As soon as you grow up, you cannot break down this lactase anymore. And this provokes a lot of allergies.
I think that's true for some, maybe for some people, but I've had evolutionary biologists on the show who have shown that, you know, evolutionary leaps forward where different populations suddenly were able to, you know, digest lactose going forward. But a lot of people do. My own sister can't eat cheese. So you found that a lot of people like to, these products work better for them?
Yeah, what I try to do, you know, any milk, either the milk made with nuts, fermented the same way as raw milk. So this is the way I produce my cheeses, with almond milks, with cashew milks, with pecan milk. And believe me, the aging process is absolutely the same for any cheese. I have almond cheese aging 3-4 months, and I have the same result as French camembert or a French chèvre with goat cheese. It's absolutely not a problem, and you digest it much better.
Huh, that's fantastic. All right, so you've been traveling around the world for your book. Tell me, what were some cuisines? Because I just can't tell the people enough how many cultures are in the, I mean, people a lot of times say, like, around the world or around the globe. This book is really that. Like, you know, countries you... being an ugly American, forget are there, you know, Reunion Island. That's a place. You know, where did Timor, Pakistan? I mean, so many great recipes from, you know, Armenia, so many places. So where were you traveling where you were surprised so that there were a lot of vegetarian, vegan foods to begin with?
For me today, the three leaders country in the world are South Korea to start with, because you have a very strong Buddhist influence there. And you can eat in temples. For example, lunchtime is very popular in Seoul. And you have beautiful monk food to find there, same in Taipei and same in Indonesia. These are for me the three biggest influence today in terms of vegan food, because of the religion first. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you have a lot of spices available also there, fresh, actually, like cinnamon, cloves, turmeric, etc. It's a fantastic way of I can find so much different products and flavors that I'm very inspired every time I go there.
Oh, all right. Fantastic. All right. So if somebody wanted to just kind of, you know, start, where do you think is the best place to start with some vegan cooking? If you're, you know, running a conventional American diet, you're typically having pork chops on the grill, what do you think the entry point would be?
The entry point going to be the farmer's market. Yeah. This is from where I get my inspiration, too. When I decide to cook lunch for friends or dinner for friends, the first thing I do in the morning, I go to the market, and I buy my ingredients and I start to think what I can do with them. And that's the biggest source of inspiration, because fresh is the trigger. And when it's fresh, of course, it's very tasteful. Don't buy any salad already 2 or 3 weeks old in a supermarket because you're going to have a big deal or a good deal. That's not the point. The point is really to eat the food when the food is at its best. So ripe, fresh. And, you know, it was yesterday still in the garden. And this makes a big difference on the plate. The colors are much better. And the taste, of course, is incredible.
Okay, so I will, so everyone, I've been talking to Jean-Christian Jury. He has this book, it's called Vegan, the Cookbook, and it is literally like the cookbook. It's my favorite book of the year. Jean-Christian, before I let you go, in the farmer's markets here, pea pods are everywhere. What's a favorite thing to do with pea pods of yours?
The pea pods, oh, you can eat them raw actually in salad.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I love to do with them is just steam them. That's a very easy process, you know. Boiling water, put a clove on the top of the pan, add your pea pods on the top, wait 7-8 minutes, and they're ready.
Yeah, that's good. And what do you put a cold dressing on them, or what do you like to?
Yeah, you can add a bit of soy sauce, tamari, a bit of ginger to them. It's actually excellent. Just a bit of salt and pepper. Just eat them like that. You don't need any additional products.
Perfect.
You know, the problem we have is that processed food is packed with flavoring agents, salt and sugar. So we get used to very strong flavors. And if you just buy fresh products, don't add too much on them. So you can keep the original flavor. And after a couple of weeks of going to this kind of diet, you're going to understand how good it is when it's fresh.
Mm, that's perfect. All right, everyone, I know you're trying to get more vegetables into your diet. I hear from you all the time. I am too. This book is how one way you could do it. It's called Vegan, the Cookbook. Jean-Christian, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this cookbook. I've got all these sour cherries that are on my North Star cherry tree. They're looking good. He's got a recipe in here for a borscht, a sour cherry borscht. I'm so going to do that this weekend. When we come back, I'm going to have Mr. Mike Brown. He is sitting in the green room waiting to come in here. You know the big Travail Lakeside party. It's next weekend. I'm going to be there. Why? We're going to find out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are you out partying for Pride? I hope you are. Wishing you well. Put on your sunscreen, folks, because I need you in prime condition, because next weekend, we got another big one. It's Travail's Lakeside party. Because Mr. Mike Brown is here from Travail. I have so many questions. They're kind of busting out all over. There might be a barbecue endeavor in the works. No one can tell.
Oh, yeah.
And I also, you know, essentially always want to know how they keep themselves fresh and in the news. The place changes, which is, you know, hard to ride your bicycle and change your bicycle at the same time, right? And you guys are always doing that. So I have a lot of questions. Mike Brown is here.
All right. Let me hear. What are the
Brownie,
questions?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
All right. So the first thing I should say is, I guess just give the people an update. How is, you know, the hottest restaurant of the North? How are things going up there?
We're doing good. You know, we're out in Birdtown there, Robbinsdale. Things are developing constantly. We're always trying to progress our cuisine out there. We have Pig at My Pizza and Travail. And
the things in the back that I never understand. Now it's a rookery. Now it's tell me, the current concept is
Spotlight. But you know, it's still in the rookeries, you know, it's still in the form of a rookery, which is the bar concept that we started with Travail when we moved over to our new space about 3.5 years ago. And we've just decided to start spotlighting chefs, because we have cooks that have been with us, or chefs that have been with us for 4 to 7 years, and they're capable of creating their own concepts and developing their own things. So we give them the shot of developing their own concept for 2 to 3 months at a time to see where their minds are going. Their
and
cuisine.
This concept is more important than others.
Well, I mean, this concept that's happening right now is going to be coming to fruition, I think, quicker than
you bought property. You're landowners in Northeast. There's a little literal shack.
It's really small. Yeah, it's like 750 square feet. It's a really small space, and it's going to be a takeout barbecue restaurant.
And it's kind of by the Home Depot quarry situation.
Yep. And Chef Kale's going to be at the helm. He's at the helm right now at Spotlight, which is basically the concept of takeout barbecue. He sold out of barbecue last night. I was like,
okay, so
let me
get all our facts in a row here.
Facts in a row.
Bought some land in Northeast by the quarry. There's going to be a barbecue thing there, people say.
Yeah. Takeout.
And
there'll be some picnic tables out there, but takeout. Yeah.
There'll be picnic tables, takeout.
Exactly.
So no nitrogen, none of the like crazy you guys are known
for. No, just
the
best darn barbecue you've ever had. You got to check it out.
Barbecue. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's just a very bare bones, like old fashioned barbecue concept. But right now it's being tested at legit Travail.
It's what we're gearing it towards, what we're going to call it's like Minnesota style barbecue. I know you probably
ketchup.
So. Yeah, a lot of ketchup. No, but
no, really?
No. But there'll be like, you know, we want to involve like some duck in there as well. I think that there's some really cool duck farms.
All right, that's already you're not bare bones barbecue.
No, we're not bare bones barbecue, but we're going to have brisket, obviously. We'll have we're doing these giant beef ribs right now, and those will be at the party. And obviously our pork ribs are gonna be there as well. They're really delicious. People are just buying them, man. I mean,
this whole thing is
flying off the shelf
over
there.
You guys, with your Gen Y crazy advanced logistics, so you're literally selling tickets to this thing called Spotlight. You're selling tickets for barbecue, and people are coming and getting bags of it and taking it to their house.
I mean, that's the spirit of barbecue. I mean,
the spirit of barbecue is not buying a ticket on the internet and taking it to your house, but that's fun for you advancing.
The spirit of takeout barbecue with a little twist, you know? I mean, come on.
All right, so
we like to put a twist on things.
Yeah. So, okay. So, but it's so popular, you sold out last night.
Yeah, I felt bad. I was getting, you know, I had to grab a couple pizzas from Piggy My Pizza down the street. This is like, someone's like, we only got an apple bacon sausage and some sides. And I'm like, oh, man. So I went and got some pizzas and brought them to a few people that didn't make it. But that doesn't happen every time, by the way. Don't come in and expect
that. And not people who had a big barbecue ticket and they just got...
No, the tickets get fulfilled. But the people that walk in, they just can get regular takeout. And he's facilitating the bar there. And,
okay, so every restaurant in town, including me, foaming at the mouth because want to know about this new place. And you're basically running like secret preview at your big party next weekend.
Yeah, that's what the plan is. I mean, you're going to see a Kale smoker. We built this smoker that is, I think it's like 15 feet long.
15 feet long?
Giant smoking
gun. Is it carpeted?
No, it's not carpeted. I know.
They're always building crazy things with
no
carpet.
No flammables, please. No flammables on this one. No, they're, this thing is enormous. And it's going to be pumping out some really good barbecue. People are going to be digging on it.
Okay, so let me get the who, what, where, when, and so on. So it's the Travail Lakeside Party.
That's right.
Next week,
Saturday the 1st.
And you get tickets?
You can get tickets online, which is basically anytime you click on Travail, there's links to all of it. You know, and that's pretty much how you get in Travail right now, buying tickets. It's a ticketed event.
And that's going good for you.
It's going great, yeah. People really like the idea of being able to plan it in advance. You know, we used to be walk-in only.
Stand on line only is what you really mean.
Stand in line only, yeah. But
so people were standing on line. It was kind of a party, but it was kind of a zoo. But now people are buying tickets in advance. I've noticed that since you rolled out the ticket concept, which was kind of revolutionary, the prices have come closer. Like the Wednesday, the Friday prime time, Wednesday not prime time, like have slowly edged towards each other. So it's not the massive price differential.
I mean, it's definitely surged priced. You know, going into Saturday. Saturday is a really hot day, and a lot of people want to come and eat it that day. But it's just, you know, if you think of it in the reverse way, it's like it's really geared to get people to come in on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And the crowds that come in on Wednesday and Thursday, they're a lot of people that are just like, I just want to check this out, you know. But then people that are coming in on Friday and Saturday are like, we've been here, we know what's going on. You know, we're bringing all our friends. We want to party. We want to have this like food experience and show people what's going on.
It's such a good thing because it's not that kind of ticket situation where it all blows out in 4 minutes the minute they're released. Like you can actually make some. You can email your friends and be like,
yeah.
But since you've done that, other restaurants have gone to that. New Tenant in South Minneapolis. Uh-huh. They're doing basically a ticket system.
Yep. And that it fits their format. You know, because they're. I don't want to say they're doing a similar concept, but the concept of only doing tasting menu, and it's basically like an event every night. And the best way to make sure that your event is doing what, or where it's, you know, you're not just hoping that people show up. You're just going to give them an opportunity to like actually plan it out. And it takes the guessing work out of both sides. You know, are we going to get in, or are people coming, you know?
I was talking to the owner of Tenant the other day, and he brought up something I never even thought about. Yeah. Cam. And he was saying that, you know, it really helps them with food costs because they're not buying a bunch of staples and scallops and wondering who's going to buy them.
Yep.
They're, you know exactly how many people are going to need
scallops. You know what needs to come in. You know what's going to go out. So it's a beautiful thing. So it not only does it help you with the guessing work on food costs, but it allows you to actually give people more food. Like if you're not like calculating, like I'm going to spend an extra 20% on scallops so I do not run out.
Oh,
you can actually take that 20% and put it into another product that you can give them in a different course. So
it must help with freshness too. You're not holding scallops till tomorrow.
That's
and running a scallop special.
It's funny when the health department comes by and they always do like an annual check. We're just like, they're like, how old is this? You're like, a day. How old is that? 2 days. Like it's all coming in that week and it all gets sold that week. And then we do the same thing over and over again, you know?
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. So these tickets are for sale for the party for next weekend. You're going to have beef ribs, which I want to try, which are, you know, from this barbecue thing that may happen soon that everyone's like dying to. And also, bum, 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 you have an announcement
breaking
news. So Dangerous Man, a brewery where people do stand in line forever.
That's right.
And you guys have collaborated on a thing.
Yeah, you know, we sat down at Pig Ate My Pizza for a little meal and talked about, you know, future endeavors and what we were all thinking. And we kind of came up with an idea to do some collaborating, and this is kind of the first of a few collaborations I think that are going to be coming in the future. And we have a couple of chefs that brew beer a lot, and Andy Getch, he made brewing beer part of his spotlight, and also Nate Moses, who's done a spotlight as well. They teamed up with Rob and his team, and they went in and they brewed a beer together in their brewery, and it's for this event. It's a raspberry tart ale. What we're calling it. So I don't know if it has a name. We'll call it the raspberry tart for now.
But. All right, beer nerds, you have been alerted. There's going to be a secret beer that no one has.
Let me read this.
And you can put it on your Tapped app, and people and your friends will be like, "Oh my God, how did they know?" And you'll be like, "I listened to WCCO."
This is for all those beer nerds out there. The recipe is developed by beer loving chefs in the conversation of their rad new brew team. It's to be a fruity hops, biscuity, crackety malt flavor. With lemon zest and lemon hops with a hint of vanilla.
That sounds like dessert.
I know, right?
But
it's not a sweet beer.
Okay.
It's a tart beer, and it's really going to go well with this summery event. We're going to get some nice warm weather, and people are going to drink, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, you know.
All right, I'm excited because I'm actually going to go to this one because I have not been able to go to them because you've been having them on Sundays.
Yeah, we did it Saturday this week.
Sunday for family time, mm-hmm. So I can sit around and help my children get paint all over the picnic table. That's how we roll. But so it's going to be next Saturday.
Yeah, bring the kids too. I mean, we have a bunch of different games that are there. Obviously, we bring back the dunk tank. We dunk the mayor. You know, classic.
Oh, Robinson,
right?
You're doing that again.
Yeah, we dunk the mayor. By the way, mayor, we're coming for you again, man. We're coming for you. But I usually get dunked. We dunk a bunch of different chefs. If chefs that we know of show up from different restaurants, we'll usually throw them up there. Stephen Brown's been dunked before.
Really?
Yeah, we have a little mini golf course and an inflatable. It's like a bounce house obstacle course or something like that.
It's a bacchanal.
Yes. So yeah, we have a nice little game area, and obviously we're gonna have some music there. We have music there every year. We have a couple different brands coming in. Bands coming in. The Gentlemen's Anti-Temperature League, the McNasty Brass Band, which are. They're really lively. It's actually really cool to watch these guys. They really get the crowd going. The Holiday, and then also we close with Viva Knievel, which is actually the Bauhaus group.
Viva Knievel.
Yeah, Viva Knievel. They're a pretty sweet cover band that is actually the guys that, you know, the brothers that.
Oh,
that do,
at the Bauhaus
Bros. The Bauhaus Bros.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Speaking of beer, I mean, we got Bauhaus, Fulton, Indeed. And then, of course, we have a new neighbor in Robbinsdale. It's called the Wicked Ward. It's another brewery that just like popped up over there like a year and a half ago. So they'll be involved too. But along with Dangerous Man. So those are the beer selections.
All right. Well, this is one of the things I love about living in Minnesota is that you guys are you know, white hot restaurant. You've been like that for a long time, but everyone can go. It's not like an exclusive Chicago kind of thing where it gets sold out in a nanosecond, right, or New York where you have to go to school with a nanny to even get in. Like you can actually do these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really love, like, you know, when people come into Trouvaille, it's all different types of people, you know, people that are foodies. You know, the best is when like parents come in and they've gotten like a gift certificate from their kids for like Christmas, and they just walk in. They're like, "What am I walking into right now?" But by the end of dinner, it's just they just enjoy it. It's one of the best experiences they've had, you know. And it's just fun to see all different types of people come in, and you know, you can be however you want in this restaurant. It's always kind of been its MO, you know.
Well, I was in a couple months ago to pig ate my pizza. I came in at 5 because I was with my kids, and I just wanted to get the like 5 o'clock early special. It was all kids. It was all families with kids. Like the night I was there, it was like romper room. It was nothing but.
It melts my heart, actually. That's one of the things about pig ate pizza that just absolutely, like, every time you see a kid in there and they'll say something like, "This is my favorite restaurant," it's like I think back to when I had a favorite restaurant. And it's like, what was that favorite restaurant and why was it my favorite? And how is that, like, you know, how does that relate to me right now? And I think Pig and My Pizza is going to be around for a really long time. So I think that these kids are going to be, you know, they'll be adults someday, and it's still going to be their favorite restaurant, and it's still in Robbinsdale. So it's really cool to watch food connect with all ages, you know.
You got your little one is 9 months, so yeah. How long till they can eat
my
pizza?
My little Javi, yeah. We just had his little 9 month checkup, and he's like, "You can start doing solid foods now." And I'm like, looking at my wife, I'm like, "So we'll do some foie gras, we'll do some some wagyu." I mean, I want him to have the best palate out there, you know. But no, we're gonna start feeding him some eggs and stuff like that. But eventually, we'll get him into developing his palate a little bit further.
Oh, my little guy, what did he start with? Mashed bananas and local cream.
Yeah,
that is delicious. I'll tell you what, you just mash up a banana and some heavy cream. It's like, this is fantastic.
Until right now, I've actually been making him little tasting menus. It's actually kind of funny. Like,
oh, get out.
Baby food tasting menus, and like turnip raspberry and, you know, sweet potato and banana with rhubarb, and like just like throwing all these different things in there for him. And, you know, you just add just a little bit, just enough sweetness and take it right down.
I was talking to Bertrand Weber once, who runs the Minneapolis Public Schools food program. Great guy, doing so much good work. But he was telling me that in I think Switzerland, he's like, one of the first foods we have is basically, you know, whipped cow liver. Like, oh, that's cool. I mean, it makes all kinds of sense, but not.
You're definitely going to get the weird baby face on that one. You feed them something new, they just look at you like, "What was that?" And you're like, "Strawberries." Imagine being liver.
My daughter had a thing for this, just sort of prunes, these whipped prunes. And I was just like, all right. We had a stockpile of whipped prunes in the house because that's a thing.
We should bring whipped prunes to the summer party.
You know, if you get people are always giving me their old church cookbooks, which I appreciate, but I have a lot of them. And man, a prune pie around 1905 was basically, I think, what you were eating.
That was the jam right there.
That was just like, you needed fruit. It was winter. Have a prune pie, my friend. All right. This has been fun. I wish I could talk to you every week. Everybody, come on down to the big Trouvaille Lakeside Party next weekend. I'm going to be there. You can find tickets on TrouvailleKitchen.com. Is that the – I should have written this
down.
That's
right. No.
TrouvailleKitchen.com. I got it memorized. See me. See Mike Brown. Eat some beef ribs. Maybe get Mike Brown in a dunk tank.
Yep. That'll happen, I'm sure.
All right. When we come back – I am going to talk to you, my friends, about coleslaw. I got some requests about some good coleslaws to bring to your potlucks, your cookouts. You southern chefs have been on me. I can't call them barbecues anymore, but you know what I mean. We'll talk about those when we come back. Your Wally McCarthy time check, 11:46. Certified catalogs are on sale up to 40% off the original MSRP. Check out McCarthyAuto.com today. And then make some coleslaw, right? Why not? All right. I know that you're on a potluck grand tour now, right? You got to bring them somewhere every weekend. You have fundraisers. You have reunions. So we're doing it. We're doing coleslaw. You asked for it. You got it. So just fun fact. Did you know that the word coleslaw is a little Anglicization of the Dutch coleslaw, meaning cabbage salad? I found that weird because I don't feel that that coleslaw is Dutch whatsoever. I feel that it is American. But everything is connected. We live in a world where it's all together. And now all these recipes are up. They're up at WCCO.com. We have seized this salad from the Dutch. It is our own. All right. So number five, and it's up at WCCO.com/menu. I love that thing. It is so fast. I find my own recipes that way. I just type it in, WCCO.com/menu. All right. So the number five is just a classic creamy. For a lot of people, you just want the Hellmann's mayonnaise basic. I respect that. I understand that. My favorite of that genre is David Leitz. He uses a lemon juice, a little vinegar, buttermilk, and Hellmann's, and it's just good. It's just straight up classic. My number four, Roseanne Gold. I love her. She's a great food writer, and she has a blue cheese coleslaw. So, yes, blue cheese. It's good. It's funky. And if you make a little crock pot pork the way you do, and then you put this coleslaw in the sandwich, that's good. You can't argue with it. My number three coleslaw, a little fancy. How about a French grated carrot salad? So you just get a big bag of carrots, you run them through a food processor, and you are pretty much on your road to having a very good vegetable in your potluck. I don't know why Americans are always trying to make carrots sweeter with like maple syrup, but try this. You will think, no, I don't need to do that. All right. My number two is a miso ginger coleslaw. I'm a little bit in love with this right now. So I just got, you know, carrot, daikon, little meatiness from the miso, which of course is the stuff you make miso soup with. It just kind of all comes together. This is one of those recipes that you make, you bring to the potluck, and everyone is like, I need the recipe. I need the recipe. I need the recipe, because it's just good. And now for those of you who don't want any mayo, you want pure crunch. Alice Waters coleslaw is the best no mayo coleslaw I know of. It's just, you know, some good red wine vinegar. What I do is I get the vinegar with a vinegar mother in the bottle, and then every once in a while I top it off with a little fresh wine. That is good. So just some good red wine vinegar, lime juice, cilantro. Use parsley if you're like an anti-cilantro person. Don't at me. I like this recipe because it's thrifty. A big cabbage set you back maybe $4. You'll feed so many people. All right. So all these recipes are up. WCCO.com/menu. And I've got a texter saying that coleslaw is German. That's not what my reference materials are telling me. But I don't know. I will look into it. My book of American food history said that it was from Dutch, but maybe it's German. I don't know. They're kind of, I imagine back in the day, it's all kind of one Northern European situation, but we'll figure it out. All right. When we come back, I will answer your questions. I got a question from someone who's trying to upgrade her mom's gin and tonics, and her mom isn't having it. We'll figure this out when we come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I have used this break productively. No, here's a story. It is Dutch. Coleslaw is of Dutch origin, not German. Dutch, yeah, here's the derivation. So cool, it's cabbage in Dutch. Slaw, salad. Dutch settlers in New York kind of brought it to the New World. Apparently mayonnaise is a mid-18th century invention. Coleslaw, as we know it, mainly is only 250 years old. I'm closing this chapter. I'm sure many people eat cabbage, but that is where this whole thing started. All right. Next great controversy to discuss. I got a Facebook post. All right. Ellie has a mom, is a big gin and tonic person. Ellie is sick of it. She can't stand it anymore. Ellie is a bartender. She has strong bartending skills. Her mom resists all attempts at change. What now? Well, I admire this. Ellie says that this is the summer things change. Well, I think mainly you can change her life with presents. I think you're just going to give her presents. And the presents are going to be things like a better caliber of gin, maybe different. Maybe you're going to give her the gift of new tonics. Or maybe you're just going to make her drink when she's not look. She's out on the cabin deck. You go inside, you make something magic, and you don't tell her and see if she notices. So I think kindness is the only strategy. I think if you tell her and you argue with your mother, so obviously she already told you she doesn't want to be changed. So you have to go for subterfuge, cloak and dagger, kindness and gifts. I think that's how you're going to do it. All right. I got another question. Tiki drinks, where are the best ones and where is tiki? Right. So I think tiki, that's not a place. That's Polynesia, right? That has something to do with, just heading the far west from California back in the 30s and 40s. And I think the best ones are, Psycho Susie's, of course, has the great vessels. And I think maybe Eat Street Social, maybe wherever. Who is doing making their all Falernums and those fancy things? I think maybe just the usual suspects, Constantine, Lawless Distilling, things like that. But, is it the glass or is it the drink? We can discuss. All right, next week, Breaking Bread. It's the Northside Cafe that does good by serving good food. And Lachelle Cunningham is going to come in and tell us, how that all works, how to make the best fried green tomatoes. Can this model be duplicated? Till then, may your neighbors not light off so many fireworks that your dog lives under your bed. And I will see you next week.